of precision pushes the boundaries for modern sporting rifle builds and machines receivers from custom forgings for added strength and durability. Aero Precision delivers top quality American-made products at an affordable price. AeroPrecisionUSA.com.
We probably should not be allowed to have this much fun. Hey, welcome back. I'm Tom Gresham. It's Gun Talk. During the break, Jim say, well, you know, he's got a family member in here, and he's taking a look at the GT25, and Jim said, well, we'll just take it out and shoot it. So they're going out there as we're speaking right now, and Michelle, I think, is going with them. So if you call right now, you're not going to get Michelle because she's at the range, which is just outside of the studio, and they're shooting the GT25. So, yeah, that's just what we're doing. That's how we roll around here. Oh, by the way, welcome back. If you're unfamiliar, Gun Talk. It's called Gun Talk because we talk about guns. If there's something on your mind, if there's a gun you're interested in, or even just a gun story you want to share, 866-TALK-GUN will get you in here. Just call me at Tom Talk Gun. We do love our range reports. It doesn't get any more of a range report than when you're out in the field actually shooting stuff. Joining us right now is Gun Talk's own Ryan Gresham, live from Wyoming. Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
It's going great. Yeah, we are home on the open range out here doing an antelope hunt with seven guys. And if you hear some weird noise, it's because I'm actually at the meat processing plant to pick up our antelopes.
Okay, so you took several guys out there. I guess, was it like a couple of them that had never hunted antelope before?
Yeah, we have several people out that have never hunted antelope with us. Or hunted antelope at all. And one of them, a buddy of mine who has never hunted big game, but I invited him, and he said, I'd love to do that. So we taught him how to sign up and apply for the tag, and he got his first antelope on Friday, and I think we've made a hunter out of him.
All right, so tell me about that. Give us the cliff notes on how'd you get him prepped up, and what was he shooting, and how did it go on his first big game animal?
First big game. So my buddy's name is Kevin. And so Kevin, we actually gave him or let him borrow a bolt action rifle in .22-250 several months ago. We said, okay, here's a center fire cartridge. It's not going to kick a lot. And this is a great way to get warmed up. So let's do a lot of dry firing and then get to the range and do some real, you know, live fire stuff. So we did that. When we got here, we had a Ruger American rifle, the Predator version, in 6.5 Creedmoor. And we actually also put a suppressor, a silencer on it. I wanted to do that just because it's a little friendlier for, we know we were going to have a group of us hunting together, and it ended up being three of us right there with him as he was taking his antelope. So, you know, we didn't have the need for the hearing protection. Also, it helps reduce recoil a little bit. And it was great. We put a stock on the antelope. We got within about 120 yards, and he was bedded down, and we waited for him to stand up, and Kevin put it right where it needed to be. So now, 2 days later, we're picking up antelope steaks.
And I love antelope meat. I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the key to that, it sounds like you did exactly that, is to get them, skinned out and cooled down and get them to the meat processor quickly.
Absolutely. The temptation with a whole big group of hunters, and there are a lot of antelope, the temptation is to keep hunting all day, but you really have to get the antelope to the processor. We actually had the ability to throw these antelope on ice to just buy ourselves a little time.
Oh, good.
But we did that, and then yesterday, I actually shot my antelope with a Benelli Lupo. And you think Benelli, you think shotguns, but the Lupo is a bolt gun that they brought out last year. Really nice. And, of course, it has that Italian Benelli style to it. And this one was in the classic 270.
Oh.
And I was shooting a brand-new round. This is from Remington Ammunition. Everybody knows Core-locked. Core-locked bullets have taken probably more big game than most other types of bullets out there. And they recently introduced the Core-locked tipped, which is really kind of perfect for these wide open spaces out here. And one shot, 266 yards, antelope went down. It was a really cool deal.
Well, you're making it sound too easy, because it wasn't that easy from what I understand. It's like you had to work to get within that 266.
Well, how much time do you have?
How long did it take?
So we were actually crossing a big open field because we had not seen any antelope, and mm-hmm. we were working our way up to a crest to be able to look down on a bigger piece of property. And as we were walking, one of the guys with us, actually KJ, stopped. He says, wait, look. And the only reason we saw this antelope was because he was skylined right on the ridge. Mm-hmm. And he was about 500 or 600 yards away. And we just kind of crouched down and watched him. And he wasn't really nervous or trying to run away. He just kind of moseyed on to the other side of the ridge. And so that was the moment we go. So we hustled up there. And we actually, as we got close, there were all these different rock formations. We're like, oh, these are some great rocks to hide behind. So we got to the first one. We looked. We were still, okay, let's try to work our way closer. And as we were working our way closer, I hear KJ go, to your left. So I immediately looked right in the confusion. And I had about 7 antelope run by me from left to right from about 70 yards away.
Oh,
and I'm thinking the whole time, oh, man, we just got busted. But they went past us. We ran up the hill a little bit more, maybe 50, 75 yards. And I found the perfect rock. If you were going to design a rock to shoot off of, lay out prone on a rock, it was just the most beautiful thing ever. And these antelope stopped at about 250. My antelope was, KJ ranged at 266, and mm-hmm. he started actually coming towards us and then turned broadside, and that was that.
And you used the classic Western caliber, a 270 Winchester.
Jack O'Connor would be pleased.
And no kidding. And that's the first time you ever shot anything with a 270, isn't it?
Yeah, I was telling them this. I said, you know, it's funny, as common and as popular as a 270 is, I've never shot an animal with it. So that was a first for me, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And it is a great long-range caliber. I mean, it's right in there. I know we got all the cool ones out now, but you could not go wrong going with the 270. I'm really glad that you may be the first person to take an antelope with that core-locked tipped ammo.
I think I might be. I need to confirm this with our buddy Joel over at Remington Ammo, but it's a brand new bullet for them, and it just came out. I mean, we had to scrounge to just get a few boxes sent to us mm-hmm. for this hunt. So I might be the first one in the world to shoot an antelope with the core lock tipped.
Well, congrats. I know you're at the processor. Do you want to get your meat? You took time out to call in with a range report. Way to go. And also, frankly, way to go in introducing your buddy to big game hunting in a really cool way. That's great. Congrats to Kevin.
Yeah, I'll tell him. And, you know, for me, I got to tell you, it was really cool for me to kind of be the guide for him and help him to make this thing happen. It was just as enjoyable for me helping him as it was for me getting to shoot my antelope.
Yes, absolutely. Once you get to that point, you're helping somebody, you know, do that. You start to take, it's a different level of enjoyment. And it's almost like you're not caught up in the moment as much. You're able to see more that's going on.
It was pretty special, I got to say.
That's great. Well, look, congratulations, and thanks for sharing the story. Very cool, and enjoy those antelope steaks.
We sure will. You guys have a good Sunday.
All right, you take care. Ryan Gresham from Gun Talk. Yeah, if you want to see more of Ryan and KJ, Kevin Jernigan, just go to GunTalk.com or GunTalkTV.com, and you can see a lot of the videos that they do. They get along famously, and some of their stuff is hilariously funny. So take a look at that. All right, wide open now. 866-TALK-GUN. We'll be right back with more Gun Talk.
As arms makers for responsible citizens, Ruger wants to ensure that new firearm owners have access to the helpful information they need to operate, store, and train with their new firearm safely and responsibly. The new Firearm Owner Resource page features a Fundamentals of Firearms Ownership video series, resources for local training and safe storage, instruction manuals, and suggestions for safety equipment and shooting supplies. Discover more at Ruger.com/New Firearm Owner.
Celebrating 75 years of innovation wasn't enough for Timney Triggers. Timney decided to go big and introduce a game-changing Alpha Competition Series trigger for handguns, a first for the company. Currently available for Glock Gen 3s, 4s, and 5s, these new triggers offer a 3-pound trigger weight and crisp trigger break designed to keep you on target. And like all Timney triggers, are easy to install and come with a lifetime warranty. Find out more at timneytriggers.com.
Visit guntalk.com/win to enter GunTalk's September Silence Giveaway. One grand prize winner takes home the CVA Cascade bolt-action rifle in 7mm Aught-8, the Silencer Central Banish 30 suppressor, and $500 True Timber gift card. One first prize winner gets a $500 gift card to spend at TrueTimber.com. Enter now through September 30th at GunTalk.com/win.
Visit Brownells.com for the best parts, tools, and accessories to get your build on. Building an AR? Brownells has the best uppers, lowers, barrels, handguards, and parts. What about a custom pistol build? Brownells has both 80% and complete handgun frames, slides, and barrels to make your handgun what you want. Brownells also has articles and videos to help you build and customize your firearms. Go to Brownells.com and start your gun build today.
All sorts of stuff going on in the news. We'll get to some of that in just a second. But first, Garrett's called in out of North Carolina on one. Hey, Garrett, thank you for your patience. I appreciate that. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Tom, just wanted to call and let everybody know. So H.R., I believe it's 4350, which is the National Defense Authorization Act for 2022, has a section in it, Section 529. That establishes what's essentially red flag laws under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is the military legal system.
Right.
And it has already passed the House, and it is sitting in the Senate. Now, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are either current, prior, or supportive of the military, and something like this where. You know, where military is trained to, you know, use guns in defense of the country, can't even own it at home. I mean, what's that all about? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and this is actually a provision that has caught the attention of a number of senators on both sides who have said no. And so what I'm hearing right now is that they're saying this National Defense Authorization Act is not going to pass with this in it. They'll have to pull the section out. But that doesn't mean we don't want to keep the pressure up, which means calling your senator's offices and saying, be sure to pull out Section 529, the red flag portion. Look, there are enough regulations in the Military Code of Justice. The military has ways of dealing with things. We don't need the gun ban lobby inserting their junk into every piece of legislation. And that's what they do. They try to bury it into every authorization act, into everything that's out there, and they slip it in. And that's exactly what's going on. And, Garrett, you're to be congratulated for calling this out and blowing the whistle on it.
Absolutely. I didn't know if you were tracking on it or not, but I was reading that this week, and I saw that already had passed the House. I was like, oh, absolutely not. We got to get senators in on this. So,
yeah.
I called D.C. the first time, and I just want to call and thank you for that, and I appreciate listening to your show every week.
Well, thank you for not just sitting there and saying somebody ought to do something, for standing up and saying, okay, I'm the somebody. I'm going to do something, and I'm going to share. So that's exactly what we need. Thank you, Garrett. I appreciate that, and thank you for the call. You know, this is the whole deal. We have to be vigilant. We have to be paying attention. And how people say, well, how would I know? How would I even know that was happening? Well, nobody's going to come knock on your door and tell you. You have to decide, I'm going to make a conscious effort to get informed and to be informed and continuously be informed. Fortunately, it's really easy these days. I would say first thing you got to do is get on Twitter. Even if you ignore everything else, get on Twitter and follow me. I'm at Gun Talk is how they do it on Twitter, the at sign and Gun Talk. And I put up these stories all week long, sometimes several a day, links to stories like this. This is what's going on. And then, of course, you should support, belong to state and national gun rights groups, Second Amendment Foundation, Firearms Policy Coalition. Belong to these, join them, support them, and they will help keep you informed on things like this that are going on. The other is, I guess, there's a website called keepandbeararms.com, pretty good website with links to stories every single day, a lot of things going on. So, and the thing is, you're going to need to go back each day because they got new listings every day. Just go click it, spend 5 or 10 minutes just cruising it, keepandbeararms.com. Go follow me at Twitter. I am at Gun Talk over there. And then you will be informed. And when you are informed, then you have the ability to take action and make things happen. Okay, a couple of things out of the news here. And this is the kind of stuff I share on Twitter, by the way, so you would know. Hoffman Estates, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Two 16-year-old boys were shot by a motorist they tried to carjack at gunpoint Friday morning at a gas station in suburban Hoffman Estates, police said. As this is that whole logical consequences, right? When you decide you're going to rob somebody with a gun and you're going to point a gun at somebody, there are risks that come with that. One of them is, the person may take offense to having a gun pointed at him. That's what happened here. The story goes on. As the teens were stealing the car, the man, a concealed carry license holder, took out a gun and shot at the pair. This is the reporting. Actually, he shot the pair. The wounded teens ditched the stolen car a short distance away and were gone by the time the police arrived. Later that morning, two 16-year-old teens showed up at West Suburban Medical Center in Oak Park with gunshot wounds, blah, blah, blah. They claim blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, if you don't want to get shot by somebody who you're stealing his car, how about don't try to steal his car? There's a lot of stupidity out there, and sometimes it's in the form of gun owners. Here's one out of Philadelphia. This woman is in line at a Chipotle. You may have seen this story. If you follow me on Twitter, you certainly did. She's in line at Chipotle. Now, Chipotle has had, like everybody else, staffing problems, supply line problems, everything else. And the manager tells the person who's working the counter, go out and tell everybody, look, we're not going to be able to fill any more orders. You need to place your order online. Basically, they don't have anybody to take the orders. We can make the food. Just place your order online. And there's a woman in line, and there's video of her, which is amazing. She, I guess, is so hungry for Chipotle, which is confusing right off the bat. But I guess she got tired of waiting for her food, so she just pulls out a pistol because her food is slow coming. She pulls out a pistol. We watched the video, and she's basically saying, you know, somebody get me my food. I'm going to get my food. You're not going to not get me my food. Quote, somebody better give me my food, she says. Now, this is one of those deals where you sometimes think, okay, some people are not thinking this through. Here's my question to you. If you're in line and you are a legal concealed carry holder and you have your firearm with you and you have training, and somebody in front of you in line pulls out a gun and points it at the people working there, you have options. I mean, obviously, you can turn around, you can boogie. But some people are going to just pull out a gun and just shoot her. Just a matter of course. Okay, she's pointing a gun at people. She is this in the process of aggravated assault. I guess that would be called assault with a deadly weapon. Certainly a felony offense. I'm sure she never imagined that pulling her gun out and the way she's holding it, I don't think this woman has much training. I also don't know if she has a permit or anything else, if she's legal. I don't think they found her yet. They have her picture. They have video of her. But I'm sure it never occurred to her that she could pull a gun out and somebody else could just shoot her, like smoked her in the back of the head, say, done, end of problem. Huh. never occurred to her. By the way, speaking of, you sometimes don't need to engage. So I'm at a little cocktail party on Friday at a neighbor's house, not a quarter mile from my house. And we're all sitting there. It's like eight of us there. And we're just sitting around talking. And somebody says, hey, there's a bear. And walk over to the plate glass window and about, I don't know, 15 yards away. This big old black bear is walking by the back, is walking through the backyard. It's like, okay. It's kind of a really beautiful, I've got some pictures, some beautiful cinnamon-colored black bear. And it's like, you know, somebody said, well, you know, do you have a bear tag? I said, yes, I do have a bear tag. I mean, it would have been legal. I said, I'm not going to shoot somebody's bear. I'll shoot this bear in somebody's backyard. It's, look, it's just, you know, bear's just doing its little bear thing. We were kind of in the garage area, and the neighbors were with. They call over to the house where their son is and says, don't let the dog out right now. There's a bear in the backyard. And we all watch the bear kind of go up the hill and disappear into the brush. Go, okay, just note to self when you're walking around, taking the garbage out around here on the mountain, just be aware that there are other critters here. We have bears, we have mountain lions, we have wolves all within this area. Just walk around the mountain right behind our little cabin here where we live. It was cool. I mean, I just thought it was fun. Would I hunt bear? Sure. Would I hunt bear with my GT25? I wouldn't maybe go hunting for them, but I certainly would use it if that opportunity came up. Wrong circumstance, wrong everything, just wasn't an issue, certainly wasn't a self-defense situation, didn't need to. And, you know, it's like we always say, also, once you shoot your big game animal, then the work really starts. Also, it was right at dusk, and boy, do I really want to go tracking a wounded bear or bear I hit into the deep brush at night. No, not me. Thank you very much. I'll pass on that one. All right, 866-TALK-GUN. We are open lines. If there's a gun you're questioning or curious about, or you're just wondering, is it smart for me to buy a gun for self-protection? Give me a holler. 866-TALK-GUN. All right, back with you, Tom Gresham. 866-TALK-GUN gets you in. Taylor's called in from Anderson, South Carolina. Hello, Taylor. What's on your mind?
Mr. Thomas, it's good to talk to you again, man. Hey, listen, a couple of points here. You know, a couple of callers ago, you know, he was referencing how his wife had difficulty hitting a target with the actually, first
It was actually his 81-year-old mother.
Well, the reason for that is that one probably had a much heavier trigger pull than the one that she was able to hit the target easier with. Okay. My recommendation is, number one, proper gun fit to your hand, because if it doesn't fit your hand, you're not going to do very well with it. You're not going to like it. And the other is, forget the caliber, man. If it's fun to shoot and it fits your hand, then there you go. So I don't know. You and I talked one day after hours. I'm a cowboy shooter. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. Something that I've observed in the last number of months is, you know, after, 15 years or so of cowboy competition, I'm watching all of these shooters that used to be just, you know, they struggle through stages and all that, and now they hit targets. And it's not that they shoot, you know, in the teens. They shoot, you know, 20s or 30s, but they hit every target. Okay. And if you think about the target distance, not mm-hmm. that I like big and close targets, but the reality is that's probably indicative of what someone would, you know, in self-defense. So it's just intriguing to me how well the sports come along, even though, you know, we're losing numbers.
Let me ask you, what's going on? Why are people shooting better now than they used to?
Honestly, Tom, I think because they've been doing it for a number of years now, and it's mm-hmm. the number one thing, it's just like in basketball or any other sport, gun familiarity, okay? They have a feel for whatever the gun is, whether it's a pistol, a rifle, a shotgun, and they're mm-hmm. familiar with it, and they can control it and make it do whatever they want to do. Just like in basketball, you know, Magic Johnson could do anything with a basketball, right? So it's a pretty good comparison to it. So the more you hold your weapon,
sure,
the more familiar you are with it.
The more you practice, the better you get, generally speaking. Okay, all right. You had another point, though, you were going to jump into.
Well, even if they're not doing live fire, as long as they're handling their gun, you know, mm-hmm. every couple of days or something like that, they can feel it. It's like they don't have to look at it to pick it up. They just feel it. The other question that I have for you, you know, that day, I don't know, it's probably been 4 or 5 months. You know, I asked you about primer availability, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, primers are still far and few between. And you referenced, you know, there's two or three new companies, you know, that are manufacturing primers primarily for their own ammo manufacturing. Mm-hmm. I mean, has this improved at all? Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel yet? Or
actually, I don't know that they're in production yet. Here's what I think has happened, because everybody's gone like radio silent now. I think what's happened is it was one of those, oh, that's a good idea. We'll make our own primers. And then they get into it and go, holy cow, this is a whole lot different than just making ammo, because the powder manufacturers can tell you, when you start making either something that's flammable or in the case of primers, you're using things that are actually explosive, the regs and the building. And all, I think what's happened is that it's just taking a lot longer to get this production online from these companies. And I think, you know, I'm not seeing any increase in primer availability right now. Are you?
Not at all, to be honest with you. You know, the reality is dry fire, dry fire, dry fire. And one last note to all the folks that have, you know, are new handgun owners, you know, and you want to carry for personal protection. Reality is every shot fired is a lawsuit. So you better have the proper training, okay? You're better off with a couple of cans of wasp spray, man.
No, never, ever wasp spray. It's the dumbest internet silliness I've ever heard. Wasp spray is dumb. Don't use wasp spray. If you're going to carry a spray, use a real serious pepper spray. But I see that all the time. It's like, I can't even believe that people keep repeating the whole wasp spray nonsense. It's not effective. We don't even know what it does. Yeah, it kills a wasp, but what's it do to a person? We know pepper spray is effective and pepper spray is useful. And because the police carry it, you have a defense against using it, whereas shooting someone with wasp spray, we don't know if that causes long-term effects. We don't know anything else. Please, people, stop telling people to use wasp spray or carry wasp spray. Get pepper spray. It comes in good containers that you can carry with you. If you want to walk around out in the woods, carry a bear spray with you. It's just a big old can of pepper spray. But, you know, I appreciate what you're saying about, you know, you're responsible for every round, which may be a really good reason to not engage if you have that option. But let's all get informed and stay informed, and let's not be recommending over-the-counter solutions when there are really good, tried and true and tested solutions and products from the self-defense world. Look, I appreciate the call, sir. All right, coming up after this break, we got another range report coming in. But you know what? We have room for yours. If you've been out shooting, if you're having problems finding things in the store, that's a range report, too. We'd like to know what's going on. Our number 866-TALK-GUN. Give me a holler. Be right back.
Remington Ammunition's Arkansas factory is making millions of rounds of green and yellow box ammo every day. From UMC to Wingmaster HD, look for your favorite loads back on shelves. And with the introduction of Remington's new cord-locked tipped, the deadliest mushroom in the woods is even deadlier. Classic hard-hitting cord-locked performance meets improved accuracy and long-range potential to make this season the deadliest yet. Big Green is back. Visit Remington.com.
Mental health and guns. At Walk the Talk America, we are working with both the mental health community and the gun industry. Created by a gun industry veteran, Walk the Talk America seeks to raise awareness and create change through suicide prevention and firearm safety without legislation. We strive to eliminate the prejudice that firearms and mental health face. For more information and to support Walk the Talk America, please visit walkthetalkamerica.org.
Hey, the GT25 pistol is finally here. I'm Tom Gresham. Now, I helped spec it out, but it's even better than I imagined. Celebrating 25 years of Gun Talk Radio, the GT25 is hand-assembled and fitted in the Ruger Custom Shop. It's a commander-size 1911 in 10mm. Only 500 will be made, which averages out to only 10 per state. Black nitride steel frame, striking blue and black G10 grip panels, Novak tritium night sight, adjustable Novak low mount rear sight. Each GT25 comes with 3 8-round magazines, a custom presentation case, a Ruger Custom Shop challenge coin, and a certificate of authenticity. To order, go to Jury'sGuns.com. That's Jury'sGuns.com. Not available in California or Massachusetts. Only 500 will be made. Don't miss out. Jury'sGuns.com.
Ammo is scarce and expensive. What can you do to keep your trigger finger happy? Try PyramidAir.com. With air guns, you can shoot for just pennies per round. And there's no better place to find thousands of air guns, ammo, and accessories than at Pyramid Air. You can also skip the hassle of getting to a range because you can shoot in your backyard, basement, or nearly anywhere. Shop today at PyramidAir.com.
Just posted a note on Twitter. The Gun Rights Policy Conference is, well, it's kind of wrapping up right now, but you can go check it out if you go to saf.org. The Gun Rights Policy Conference last year and this year, because of COVID, are virtual. And which the good news is that means it's pretty much with video and tons of stuff to learn, which means it's going to still be there. It's not like you had to fly to Dallas to participate. So if you go to saf.org, you can see all the information about the Gun Rights Policy Conference, which is going on right now. Pretty cool. Our number 866-TALK-GUN will certainly get you in here. Let's see. Oh, you know what? We had, I had asked people if you bought a GT25, our new Gun Talk limited run pistol, kind of a fun project, to let me know. We'd get a range report. And couple of people contacted me, and just because of time shifting and everything else, we recorded this interview with Bob out of Kentucky. He had his GT25. Let's listen to that now. All right, got another range report coming in here. We got Bob in Kentucky is called in. Hey, Bob, you got your GT25?
I do. I picked it up a couple days ago.
Okay, and I understand that you actually got, do you have like two new 10 millimeters?
I did. I bought a Glock 20 a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't shot it, so I took them both out to the range, to my backyard this morning.
Well, sweet. Okay, so you got two kind of really different 10 millimeters. The Glock 20, of course, has been out a long time. It's a full size, and it's a Glock. All right, I'll just quit talking and let you give us your range report and your impression of either both of them or particularly the GT25.
Yeah, well, obviously, I like them both because I like guns. So I shot, I had some MagTech 1230 feet per second, and some arm score was just like 1,000 feet per second.
Mm-hmm.
So the GT25 shot great. No, I shot 60 rounds through it. No malfunctions. I could tell a slight difference between the two ammos, but was smooth. Recoil wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know what to expect, but recoil wasn't bad. I love the sights.
Now, when you compare the way the two, because, I mean, generally you got an all-steel gun and you got a polymer gun, those are going to have a different feel anyway. Now, I should point out that people say, well, you know, the GT25 is a commander size. It's a 4.25-inch barrel. But the Glock is still only a 4.6-inch barrel on the 20. So it's not that much difference, is it?
No, just hold. I didn't measure, but holding them up side by side, it looked like about a half inch difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be about right.
Yep.
So general impressions, I mean, what do you think? If somebody said, okay, I've been hearing Tom talk about the GT25, and now they're saying, well, Bob, you got one. What do you think?
I really like it. It's always fun shooting a 1911.
I was just going to say, you have other 1911s, I take it.
I have a couple of 45s.
Right. It's my favorite platform. It just is. And putting the thin grips on it, I think, and that and the undercut right behind the trigger guard, I think it helps considerably and makes it feel comfortable.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it, you know, to anybody considering getting it. And it's beautiful.
You know, I think, honestly, I don't think the pictures online do it justice. I think it's
No, they don't.
I think it's better looking in person. Well, look, keep shooting it, and I'm glad you got one, because the reports I'm getting from Johnny and crew over at Dewars is they're going pretty quickly. So well done on grabbing that one, and thanks for the range report. All right, it's a good chance to talk with Bob and get that range report on the GT25. They keep coming in. People like them. The one I really liked was a friend of mine in an aviation group. He's a fellow pilot, and he got a GT25, and I didn't know he was going to do this, but he posted onto our aviation board about it. And he said he compared it with an Ed Brown 1911 he's had, which is pretty impressive comparison, because the Ed Brown is probably, that's right, just about exactly twice as expensive. Ed Brown's going to run close to $3,500, and this one's $1,700. And he actually, I was surprised, he said he likes the GT25 better, which I would never, ever make the claim it's any better than an Ed Brown or a Wilson Combat. I think they compare very favorably for $1,000 less, something like that. Pretty cool. All right, here's under the heading of, this is going to tick you off, because it certainly ticked me off. The Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals a few months ago had a really good ruling. They ruled that the law preventing people under the age of 21 from purchasing handguns was unconstitutional. They said, look, the Second Amendment is the law of the land. And at age 18, you are an adult. And so the court ruled several months ago, a 2-1 decision, that it's unconstitutional to have laws that say you cannot buy a handgun when you're 18, 19, or 20 years old. And this was a case brought on the behalf of some 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. And everything was good. And we understood that. I mean, we knew it was unconstitutional. Everybody knew it was unconstitutional. The judge basically just said, I mean, it's not even up for discussion. This is just done deal. And then this past week, it all got undone. Wait till you hear what happened. Simply this. The people who had filed the lawsuit got older. And now they're all 21. And the law doesn't apply to them. The restriction doesn't apply to them. And the court said, oh, guess what? Now the case is moot. It takes 3 years at least to go through the process of filing the lawsuit and making your way through the lower court and getting your way to the circuit court. What that means is, if they're going to say, well, by the time you age out, you hit 21, the case is moot, no one can ever bring this lawsuit. No one can challenge the ban on your constitutional rights because you're 18, 19, or 20 years old. You're old enough to serve in the military. You're old enough to drive a tank. You're old enough to shoot and carry machine guns, but you can't go buy a pistol on your own. So now the courts are saying, yep, well, you know what? That's just the way it is. And because of the process, it's going to take a while. And, of course, the people who are defending these restrictions say, heck, we could just stretch these things out with appeal. It'll always be moot. No one will ever be able to bring a case like this. This is just wrong, and something's going to have to change. I don't know how or where or how, you know, when. I think probably the Second Amendment Foundation's on this. We'll keep you posted on that. Unconscionable is what it is. Okay, this is just so much fun. I got to share. I'm sitting here looking out the window doing the show here, and I see my buddy Stan just flew by in a Baron, a Beechcraft Baron. He's about to land on the grass strip right in front of the cabin here. And then at the same time, you know, Jim and crew, Michelle, they take the 10mm out and shoot that and the 9mm. So it's like, you know, we're having a bunch of fun around here. James just called in. I think he's been having some fun as well out of Iowa. James, what you been shooting?
I just bought me a EA Witness Tankfolio in 10mm.
Nice. So, okay, why? The question is, I'm sure all your buddies are saying, why 10mm? Why'd you go that way?
I listened to you brag on it and everything, and I thought I'd give it a try, and I really like it.
Oh, well, okay, so tell me about shooting it. What do you think?
Well, it's not too bad. It's a all-steel 5-inch gun. Shoots real nice. I've been putting groups in about 1 to 2 inches at 25, 30 yards.
Ooh, that's real good. Wow. People are going to ask you, and I know they do, well, it doesn't it kick a lot more? Give us your impression of an all-steel, full-size gun in 10 millimeter.
Well, I usually carry an Arms Corps 45, and I tried this, and I carry this now, and it doesn't kick hardly at all.
Exactly. You know, and the weird part is, I don't know what the magic here is. There's something going on. But when you run the numbers, a 10-millimeter round, on average, has 50% more energy than either a 9-millimeter or a 45 ACP. So you're getting 50% more energy with hardly any increase in recoil. It's, you know, PFM, some kind of magic.
Yeah, I think that the all-steel gun really helps on it, though.
Yeah, I agree. I appreciate it. Well, great range report, sir. I appreciate that. I'm going to drop down to Ron, see if we can get his range report in before we hit our break here. Ron, what'd you take out to the range? And give me the quick range report.
Okay, thanks, Tom. I just got a Springfield Ronin 4 1/4-inch barrel. And, boy, do I love that gun. It's got a trigger pull. It's like I measured it at 4 pounds, 2 ounces. The sights are great. It's just a wonderful gun, and it has almost no recoil.
You got 9 millimeter, right?
I did. Yes.
Well, what you got is a forged steel frame in 9 millimeter. It's like our forged steel frame that we have in the GT25, but yours is in 9. You talk about no recoil. I think the 1911 in 9 millimeter is one of the sweetest shooting guns ever.
I love it.
So yep, why
I'm
did you buy that? What was your idea? Is this for just for fun? Are you going to carry it? What are you going to do?
Just for fun. I bought it because I loved the looks and I felt it and just loved the feel and the look and no other reason than that.
and this is America. You don't need any more reason than that, do you?
Absolutely. I'm very happy with it.
Way to go. I think you did real well. The Springfield Ronin is a great platform. It's a beautiful 1911. And yeah, you're right. The trigger pull on the 1911 is terrific, and they have a really good one in that one. When you get in that 4, 4.5 pound range, which is, I think, where we are with the GT25 as well, it feels lighter than that. It really does. It's a factor of the geometry and the way the design is, and when you shoot, if you go shoot 20, 30 rounds through a 1911, you go, oh, that's what those guys have been talking about. I get it now. It's that trigger, isn't it? Yeah, it is the trigger. I'm just telling you, it is. Oh, all right, new study out on gun owners. We'll be talking about that. Who are we? How are we made up? And how many gun owners have used a gun in self-defense? You're going to be shocked.